Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Watch us on milehighsports.com. Listen, of course, on 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM in Denver. That's Mile High Sports Radio's frequencies. I'm Andrew Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. Anilo Pirro of the Denver Sports Betting Show filling in for him. And if you want to join the conversation, join us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Media by AP, or on the GoFest Energy Drink hotline and text line, 303-831-1340. Before we move on, have you seen this story out of Birmingham? Okay. According to the ABC affiliate WBMA in Birmingham, 37-year-old Matthew Williamson was found in a press box surrounded by chicken fingers, chips, candy, and meth.
Did not expect the last one. Chicken fingers, candy, and meth.
Yes, the Pleasant, according to this story, quote, what? The Pleasant Grove, Alabama Department of Public Safety says 37-year-old Matthew Williamson was charged September 17th with unlawful breaking and entering a vehicle and theft of property, transported to the Jefferson County Jail. Less than 2 hours after he made bond, he stole a car in Hueytown, Alabama, and hid it in Pleasant Grove, Alabama. On September 22nd, there was a report of an unknown person breaking into the concession stand at the Pleasant Grove Athletic Complex. The next morning, Williamson was found sleeping in the press box among a pile of chicken fingers, chips, candy, and meth. You know what? I have fallen asleep in press boxes before.
Yes, I have too.
I can say that I have fallen asleep with three out of four of those things somewhere nearby. Chicken fingers, chips, candy, and meth. I'll let you figure out what the missing one was.
The chicken fingers? That is a crazy story.
Chickens don't have fingers.
So did he have to cook those chicken fingers himself? If he broke in after hours?
They don't just leave. Like, it's not like a peel the thing back and eat them at the box. Like, now, you got to fry those things.
You imagine they're frozen maybe, right?
Yeah, they got a microwave. Yeah. Those aren't...
Is he eating these things raw?
Well, if
I mean,
one
if you're
of those,
on meth, maybe you will eat it raw.
If that's in the mix,
yes.
I'm just looking at this guy's picture too. He not a pretty mugshot. I'll put it that way.
Well, yeah, the eyes are bulging.
Yeah,
he's high on meth right then, isn't he?
He's got to be.
Oh my gosh.
What a story! And I have picked down the press box before. Some long days there sometimes, but
and I mean, I can tell you, like, for example, Broncos press box spread yesterday.
Ooh,
there was candy.
Yeah, they treat the royalty.
There was candy. There were chips. Not chicken fingers. They've had chicken fingers at times over the years. Chicken wings at halftime.
That's good. Were they good wings, though?
I didn't have them because I decided to try the vegan dog. They had at the halftime snack at Broncos Jets in the press box was chicken wings, a hot dog, bratwurst, and a vegan dog. Now, ooh. I will never have a press box hot dog.
Why?
Why? Because in the year 2000,
I like that.
You ever see Conan O'Brien, like, back in the day?
Oh, yeah, way back
when. That was his thing, yes. Yes. In the year 2000, I got sick back-to-back games after having press box hot dogs.
The glizzies.
So that's it. I just can't eat a press box hot dog. I'll have a press box bratwurst.
Okay, so you'll have
I'll have a sausage. Okay, I'll have cased meat. But yesterday, I'll say this, the vegan dogs, I should have taken a picture of one of them because, you know, usually vegan hot dogs at least look like hot dogs, right? This thing looked,
I can only imagine.
It looked like a turd.
Oh, it's got like the green, I bet, like all like the
it was
vegan-ness.
Brown. No, ooh. It was brown. It was brown. It was kind of misshapen. It was like Mr. Hanky on a bun.
Ugh.
And I did.
Shame.
I had that and I put some barbecue sauce on it and tasted fine. I had to get past the look of it though. It looked like a turd.
That sounds like a turd, honestly. A vegan dog. I've had those like Impossible sausages. Yeah,
vegan dogs, they're fine. Like I have some in my fridge at home, like the Light Life vegan dog. I put them on a grill and then I put like some coleslaw on it because I like a slaw dog.
Yeah.
It's fine. Nothing wrong with it at all. Looks like a hot dog. Tastes mostly like a hot dog. Texture wise, it's fine. No problem. This thing was not it yesterday.
Yeah.
But I didn't get sick.
Well, that's good.
I didn't, you know, I got sick from PressBox hot dogs earlier in my working life. I didn't get sick from these. So well, what's the problem?
But were these PressBox hot dogs at a baseball game or were they at just football and whatnot?
Football.
Because I feel like baseball is a little different.
Like, how so?
Because the hot dog, you know, that's part of the aura.
Yeah.
Like, I've eaten a bunch of hot dogs at Coors Field from their PressBox. I've been fine.
I mean,
maybe you had a bad experience, but I've got.
I'd have to know what commissary they were coming from.
Right.
Like, are the PressBox hot dogs coming from the same place that the rest of the hot dogs are cooked?
Right.
Like,
or do they give us the bottom of the barrel?
At Coors Field, for example, if they're cooking them on the same grills as the Rocky dog, well, then you know what? Give me a hot dog because I have loved every single hot dog I've ever had at Coors Field over the years.
Mr. Nolan, I know he's not here. We went to the game last Tuesday. He had 2-foot-long hot dogs.
Was that on the like the hot dog discount night, like the dollar hot dog?
No, Mr. Nate Lundy actually took some of the digital team out and got us club seats for a game. And
I mean, we need like the Grey Poupon
fancy
violin music here if you're sitting on the club level instead of down in the stands with us proletariat.
It was nice. It was a little chilly out that night, too. I was like, look at us. I did get sick one year, though.
Yeah.
The Nuggets served pizza at a draft night, and I went home, and I woke up at about 3-4 the next morning, and not good.
Ooh, the Broncos have had some bad luck with pizza.
Yeah. But pizza, like, what is it, spoiled cheese?
No, it was undercooked.
Ooh.
The dough was...
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it wasn't good. The Broncos press box meals, I would say this, it's hit or miss.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, yesterday the offering was like chicken and macaroni and cheese, and I just passed. I actually went down to the club level. Now it's my turn to be fancy.
Oh, look at that.
And on the club level, on the west side, there is a stand that serves lobster rolls.
Oh!
Now, they're not cheap. Lobster rolls ain't cheap. Especially
market price, a little MP.
Yeah, no, but also, of course, we're here in the middle of the continent, so they're not going to be cheap here, you know, 1,000 miles from any ocean with lobster. But
that sounds good. Oh, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, succulent.
Mm.
Again, I mean,
I'm hungry now.
I will say this on this lobster roll. At a game, it's not cheap. It was $32.
Wow. Okay, that is a pricey lobster roll in general.
Yes. But you got what you paid for.
Okay.
It was tremendous.
Was that part of like the revamped food offerings that they did at the stadium?
No, those are on the main levels, and I'm going to try to check at least some of those out on Sunday. There's interesting things going on. Like, I always try to find something interesting food-wise whenever I go cover a game. So, in Jacksonville, 8 days ago, I was walking on the concourse, and I saw these things called pizza logs for sale.
Pizza logs?
I have to find out what this is. Pizza log. Not pizza roll, pizza log.
Sounds good.
It's log. It's big. It's heavy. It's wood. It's better than bad. It's good. And you have to be a child of the 90s to get that. Anyway, so I asked for the pizza log, and they're like, oh, we don't have any. Come on. I'm trying to try something new here. I've never seen pizza logs on a menu before in my life. Jacksonville, everything about Jacksonville is just a disappointment.
Duval. Yeah, everything is.
Yeah, I mean...
They had a lead against the Cardinals at one point.
And what a return. Jamal Agnew can pretty much make his Pro Bowl reservation now with 2 touchdowns.
Lock that in.
This one on a missed field goal. But then, I mean, we'll get to more on the NFL in a bit. We'll get to the Broncos on the other side. But Trevor Lawrence, what are you doing, man? He has got to learn that you can't play hero ball.
I know.
Like that. We might be talking about the Jaguars having their first win. The thing with the Jags and Trevor Lawrence, you can see the glimpses already. You can like that first drive against the Broncos. You can see that it's going to be there with him, but you can't throw that thing up for grabs. By the way, Trevor Lawrence has more touchdown passes than Teddy Bridgewater, you know.
Really?
Yes.
And a hell of a lot more interceptions.
And that's the problem. And we're going to get to more about Teddy Bridgewater and KJ Hamler and the Broncos on the other side. We teased it at the top of the hour. We're going to come back to it. Should the Broncos look for another wide receiver to replace KJ Hamler on the street, off the street, or should they just promote from within, or maybe change up what they do tactically? And Nilo and I will discuss that on the other side of Mile High Sports Radio, milehighsports.com. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Nilo Pirro in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. MileHighSports.com. Stay tuned.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Want to let this breathe for a little bit. Commodores.
I wish I was in the studio sessions for this stuff, man. I could just see the afros, the wood paneling on the wall.
Can you believe that this is the same band that, and on the same album, also gave us Easy as an Easy Like Sunday Morning?
That is same album, really.
That is the self-titled album of the Commodores. It was their fifth album.
Commodores.
Just called Commodores back in 1977. And Brick House and Easy are both on the second side of the album.
On the B-side, too, nonetheless.
Oh, the album. I mean, it's not the B-side, the single.
Oh, right.
You know, the B-side, let's see, what was the B-side for Easy was Can't Let You Tease Me? Easy, an all-time great song.
Yes, it is. Wow. I got the
and
vibe,
also,
man.
You know, Easy is like, actually, it's like, there we go. And it's not, it's a breakup song, but it's not an unhappy breakup song. You know?
Mm-hmm.
As Danny cues it up, we're going to let it breathe for a little bit.
Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow.
Get my lighter in the air?
Yeah.
Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can.
Woo!
You see a big stone and I borrow.
Like he's tried. Yeah. Can't make it work. But now, he's...
That's why I'm easy.
On his feet.
Yep. Not for
easy like Sunday morning.
Oh man, what a great song. Yeah. You know Lionel Richie performed at John Lynch's Hall of Fame party last month?
Really?
Yes.
That would have been a show.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie.
I know I wasn't there. I was writing a story after the Steve Atwater induction, but a couple of friends of mine were there. They said it slapped, of course.
I'm sure it did.
Especially, you know, and then Lionel got to his singles catalog as well, you know, Dancing on the Ceiling. Oh, what a feeling. I actually was quoting that song to my daughter this weekend.
Lionel.
Dancing on the Ceiling. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, which is quickly detoured away from football, of course.
Food last segment, music this segment.
Yeah, we were talking about Bojangles Chicken in the South.
Sponsor the show. Come out to Colorado.
Yeah, anyway, 303-803-831-1340 if you want to join us on the Go Fast Energy Drink hotline and text line. If you want to join us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Media by AP. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Talked about at the top of the show. Back to it now. KJ Hamler, Broncos wide receiver, out for the season with a torn ACL. Also, some other damage to his knee, as indicated by Vic Fangio when he met the media this morning out at Broncos headquarters. Interesting to look elsewhere on the AFC West. The Chiefs signed Josh Gordon, the talented but oft suspended wide receiver. Should the Broncos add somebody? Should they have been in on trying to get Josh Gordon?
No, I don't think they should have been in on trying to get Josh Gordon. I'm surprised that Josh Gordon is still as much of a household name as he is, considering how receivers can sometimes be a dime a dozen in this league. And we're talking that Gordon hasn't been sensational since 2013. So that definitely
he's 30 now, believe it or not.
Like, why? Like, before we talk about the Broncos, like, why does he keep getting these opportunities? I mean, you can't question the talent, but, like, you know, the running back position is a little different, but you see, like, Todd Gurley is not signed right now.
Right.
You know, like, why is somebody like Josh Gordon, who's been in and out of the, you know, the programs, continuing to get these chances when he hasn't really produced in recent memory either? I'm not trying to throw hate, but it's just, I see this, I'm like, here we go again.
Because in the brief moments, whenever he pops up again, he's productive.
Yeah. Like,
his last
Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots.
That's right. He was on the team that won in that beat the Rams in the Super Bowl a few years ago. His last stint was with the Seahawks back in 2019. 5 games played, 1 game started, 19.9 yards a catch. By the way, I mean, a heck of a stat with Josh Gordon is that he has 247 career receptions. He's got 20 touchdowns. So literally he's, you know, about one of every 12 receptions ends up in the end zone. I mean, he's a legit playmaker. He still is a legit playmaker. But
Chiefs
also
need them a playmaker.
He's got his issues. He has to be kind, his issues with performance enhancing drugs and substance abuse drugs.
Yeah, you know, it's not been an easy road for him. I'm happy that he's getting another chance. It's just like, it's like a throwback when I see that news. I'm just like, what? Am I still in high school? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like it was for forever ago. I mean, but you look at some of the players that are available. I mean, there's some names, right? You've got like the Nelson or the Alshon Jeffries of the world, the Golden Tates of the world, the Dez Bryants of the world. If you want a name like that,
you want speed. There's John Brown.
Right.
Now, he has sickle cell trait. And we know that's been an issue for some receivers when they've come to play in Denver over the years. But if you're looking for pure speed, that's him. And sickle cell trait apparently is not an issue for him to play in Denver with the altitude.
Okay.
So if you're looking for pure speed, it's John Brown. Now that being, here's the thing though. If you're the Broncos, you don't want to invest a lot in this. Because think about it this way. First of all, you're probably getting Jerry Jeudy back in 3 to 4 weeks, okay? So you're looking for a bridge to getting Jeudy back. I don't like the idea of trading for somebody. Someone told me on Twitter, asked me, should the Broncos trade for Brandon Cooks? And I said, no. A, he'll cost you a mid-round pick. B, I think his salary cap number would be about $3 million, which is not prohibitive, but you can take every bit of cap space you have, and the Broncos, I think, are second in the league in cap space right now, and put that to next year. You can carry it over. And that is significant because next year, you're probably going to be spending more at quarterback.
Right.
Maybe it's re-signing Teddy Bridgewater if he keeps playing well. Maybe it's Aaron Rodgers bringing him in. But you're probably spending a lot more at quarterback. You need every last dollar to carry over, so it's a league minimum guy probably on the street. Maybe what about Golden Tate?
That's a name.
He's not a burner at this point.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, if the Broncos are looking to add a receiver, are they looking for a specific type of receiver, or do you think they're just going for someone who's going to be consistent and can plug a hole for 4 weeks? Like, what do you think is the bigger need for Denver?
Well, and here's the thing. Is it possible you can plug that hole by just going bigger in your formations? Vic Fangio indicated this as a possibility today, making two tight end formations, the base package, and you have Albert Okwuegbunam and Noah Fant, who are effective receivers. And oh, by the way, even though Pat Shurmur, we know how he likes his three wide sets, this is somebody who did work with Evan Engram in New York, knows how to get him in space. And I do think if you are the Broncos, the best solution here, you don't have to have anybody work their way up in timing. The best solution here in the interim is to make two tight ends your package, not only for base, but also when you spread out, but have Albert Okwuegbunam and Noah Fant operating in space more often, especially Okwuegbunam. Use him like Evan Engram, the same kind of routes. Take advantage of those mismatches. Effectively, your slot receiver becomes a bigger guy rather than a smaller guy. That's what they should do.
And I think that's a fine route to go. You know, it's one thing if Jeudy's out until, you know, week 10, week 11, week 12, whatever it might be. But like you mentioned, he's coming back hopefully in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks around there. I think there's enough talent on the roster to get by. I mean, we've talked about how much they like both tight ends and Fant and Alberto.
Yeah.
You know, Golden Tate, if you did throw a name out there, I think, you know, he did some good stuff in Detroit, did some good stuff in New York, you know, with two New Yorkers with a shaky quarterback. But I agree. I mean, it's like the guys that are out there, kind of feels like you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole a little bit. You know, like, why not just kind of slap the Band-Aid on, try to get through the next 4 or 5 weeks, and then try to reset with your guys?
Yeah.
And that's why trading Trinity Benson was just kind of a head-scratcher, because you'd kind of have a solution if that didn't happen.
Yeah, but at the same time, you weren't expecting to lose two guys in three games.
It's true. It is, yeah. But again, to just give him away, to trade him like that for essentially nothing. Like, mm-hmm. why did they need to make that move? Like, were they pressed to make that move?
They wanted to keep other guys on special teams from other positions. They felt like they needed another linebacker more, for example.
Special teams has been a little,
Yeah, by the way, special teams, although there were some good moments. First of all, Brandon McManus is perfect so
yes,
far this year. Knock on wood. Good for him. Sam Martin, I thought, had his best game as a punter. Eric Saubert, very nice job. If I'm giving out helmet stickers, Eric Saubert gets a helmet sticker for downing that punt inside the 10-yard line. But you also had a punt that was deflected. So here we are again. Last week against the Jaguars, we had a couple of false starts on punt plays. You're talking about kickoff return, busted coverage there. This game, you're talking about a bust in protection leading to a punt getting deflected. Is a clean game on special teams just something this team is incapable of?
I don't think incapable, because it seems like, you know, special teams is kind of the foundation. You know, a lot of these guys fighting for roster spots, you know, special teams are where some people kind of earn their keeper. That's the only place they can play to kind of stay in the NFL. So, you know, I think it's one of those areas that sometimes special teams get overlooked, but it's an area of the game that you have to be buttoned up at, especially when you've got an A-tier kicker in Brandon McManus. And I know that's the field goal unit and whatnot, the kickoff team, but you know, when it comes to your return defense or your punt defense or whatever you want to call it, like, you sharpen up, guys. Come on. It's not the most important facet of the game, but the guys that are on those units are fighting for jobs, fighting for playing time.
And it will cost you.
Yes.
It has not cost you yet.
Right. Exactly. I mean, look at, I know it was Jacksonville, and they're the ones who returned it, but
right.
A lack of discipline on special teams can make or break a game.
Of course, Jacksonville's got issues on special teams because, gosh, Lambeau keeps missing kicks.
And it screwed my over. It finished at...
Really?
I was over 51.
The over-under was 51?
And it finished at 50.
So Lambeau is now... He's missed two field goals against the Broncos. He missed two PATs yesterday.
Yep. Screwed me.
Are they auditioning kickers today?
You got to. I mean, that's got to drive Urban Meyer crazy. Considering how bad his team has been, the little things, I feel like that'd be the top of his priority list.
You'd think so.
Kickers, man. Not as straightforward as you think it is.
Well, and they're not readily available either. Not like people think they are, because...
No.
Remember Taylor Russolino? Broncos brought him in.
Oh, boy.
Missed a couple of PATs. You still see him posting videos on social media, by the way, of like how he's keeping in shape. And I'm thinking, you can post all the videos you want, dude. And I get that, and I appreciate that. But, man, it was a windy day, but it did not go well on those PATs that day in Denver when he had to fill in for Brandon McManus, who was on the COVID list last year. On the other side... Real quickly, we're going to dive into some topics around the NFL. What's real? What's fake from the first 3 weeks of the NFL? And Elo and I will tackle those topics, including Broncos is a playoff contender. Real or fake? We'll let you know on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason and Ingo Piro in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. Mile High Sports Radio, MileHighSports.com. You will see that we've gone.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
This is what Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld suggested that was the original name of War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy. Although it was first Jerry making the joke, but then Elaine thought it was actually real war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. It's also the song.
It's a good one.
It's also the song that Homer Simpson dances naked in the church to.
Yes,
in a Halloween episode after
a treehouse
was wiped out.
Horrors.
Yes,
that's a good one.
And I love it when I like say it again, and Homer's like, "Okay." Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Elo Piro is that voice you hear filling in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. If you want to join the conversation on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, go to @MediaByAP or @MaceDenver on Twitter. If you want to call in or text in, that's the Go Fast Energy Drink Hotline. Text line 303-831-1340. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
We're through 3 weeks of the 2021 National Football League season, and some trends are starting to emerge, or maybe we don't know all that much. So let's start with the Broncos. What's real? What's fake? First up, the Broncos. Real or fake that they're a playoff contender?
I think it's absolutely real. I think the 3-0 start is going to pad them, even if they do have some struggles later on in the year. I think they are very much a real team, considering look at the division, too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of surprises at the top.
Detroit was a little feisty yesterday with the Ravens, but Detroit coming here in December, you figure that's a winnable game. Philadelphia coming to Denver in November, that's a winnable game. So you have the three that are already in the bag. Those two you expect to win. The Broncos, I think, can be a 500 team against the tougher opponents on the schedule beyond those. 500 in those other 12 games means you are, 12-5. Dare I say it, that would put you in very good playoff position.
That would be insane if they got to 12-5, but it's very much a possibility. I know they got a game against the Steelers, which before the year, you know, I was a little hesitant on, mm-hmm. but it seems like Pittsburgh's kind of fallen off a little bit in those divisional games. You know, those are always coin flip games.
Yeah, those 12 games include, like you said, Pittsburgh, which is struggling, and Ben Roethlisberger looks done.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. It's unfortunate.
Washington, which will have Taylor Heineke still at quarterback when they come in. So, winnable games and division games, you figure there'll be good fights. Speaking of Pittsburgh, what's real, what's fake? The Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger being done.
Yeah, I tried to be bullish on Pittsburgh before the year. You know, I was a big believer in, you know, they had a great start last year. Maybe they just kind of all fell apart. Maybe they could rally back together this year. But Big Ben is like what we saw with Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl 50 year, but like even worse, and not near the amount of talent around them to kind of, you know, keep the ship afloat. I mean, it's sad to see a legend of the game go out like this, because I mean, he has two Super Bowl rings. I mean, we just saw Drew Brees retire with one. It's hard to win two Super Bowls, and Big Ben has just not been able to put it together. And as somebody told me, if Big Ben couldn't get the ring with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, what makes you think they're going to be able to run it back with this core?
Yeah, and they're relying on their defense, and their defense has done all right, but was singed at times yesterday by Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They won't be bad because Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin, the one thing right. that they are organizationally and on that staff is adaptable. So them bottoming out means, I think, 6-11, 7-10, competitive. Agreed. And maybe they steal some games like against the Broncos in a couple weeks. But you know what? As far as being a playoff contender,
yeah,
I think they're done. I think it's real that they're on the downslide here and frankly look like the worst team in the AFC North, which means that's a game you have to win if you're the Broncos. The entire AFC West faces the entire AFC North. You can't rely on beating the Browns or the Ravens. Of course, Ravens come in next week, and the Bengals looks like a trickier game down the stretch. You have to beat Pittsburgh.
Definitely, I agree. It's what it is. And what about Joe Burrow going in there and getting a win, too? That's a hostile environment. I think, to me, that's what's most telling.
So, real or fake, Burrow and the Bengals emerging?
As a playoff contender or just emerging in general?
Let's say playoff contender.
I don't think they're there yet. I'm not willing to put a lot of I mean, I put some stock into their week one win against Minnesota, but that's more traditional Minnesota to me than anything. I do think
finding a way to lose.
Exactly. And then finding a way to win against Seattle at home. It's just so typical. Mm-hmm. and then the field goal loss against Arizona. Just what a team, Minnesota.
It's never dull.
Ja'Marr Chase. One thing about Minnesota, too, that someone told me. They're never bad enough to get a top five pick, but they're never good enough to get over the hump, which is why they're stuck in this state of oblivion. They're always going to pick like 16, 17, and never, they're always going to be right in the middle and never be able to kind of commit one way or the other.
You know, this is sort of my fear with the Broncos this decade, because
yeah.
they always have talent, but they don't get over the hump. And in their instance, they've been staring down the barrel of Aaron Rodgers for most of the last decade.
Yes.
And they've always been that team that was put that occasionally pushed, could take advantage of Aaron Rodgers being hurt or something like that to get into first place, but other years they were finishing second.
Yeah.
And with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes in the division, you wonder if that's the fate of the Broncos. potentially.
It could be. I mean, we'll see when these teams face up head-to-head because Teddy's looked pretty damn good. But, I mean, the quarterback position is most important. But with your Bengals take, though, I think Ja'Marr Chase is legit. I think Joe Burrow's legit. They're on the trek. I mean, that division's tough. You know, you got two playoff-caliber teams in Baltimore and Cleveland. I think they're really trending in the right direction. I think Zach Taylor is the head coach, you know, actually looking decent.
This is big for him because he had to show progress in year three. They've already shown that, and I think they're
year three.
Yeah. And the first two were
just
bad.
Yesterday. Yeah, that's why it all feels like one year put together.
He was part of the same class of Vic Fangio. In fact, the Broncos interviewed Zach Taylor before hiring Vic Fangio, which makes that December game interesting. Kansas City struggling. Is that a real sign of what is to come, or is this just a false sunset?
I think it's real in the sense of this team is flawed, but I mean, I will still stay on record that this is the team with the highest ceiling of anybody in the NFL. You know, they've got the best player in the league in Patrick Mahomes. They've got an excellent head coach in Andy Reid. I just think, you know, they're going through some bumps in the roads. It's not always going to be smooth sailing. You know, I think it's legitimate in regards to, yes, they're going to struggle at sometimes, but I'm not worried about the Kansas City Chiefs long term.
Next few games at Philadelphia, Buffalo, at Washington, at Tennessee.
Wow.
Giants, Packers, at Raiders, Cowboys.
Not easy.
It's not easy. But I would say this, of those eight games, I think they'll have a winning record, but I don't think it's going to be a world-beating winning record. And I think they may be sitting there at their Week 12 bye with the Broncos coming on the other side at maybe a very pedestrian 6-5 or 7-4.
It very well could be, and they could be a strong second half team as well. You know, that's something to keep an eye
on. After the bye, they face Denver, Las Vegas, at the Chargers, Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati, at Denver. Speaking of the Chargers, real or fake?
Man, you know, I was a little wishy-washy on them, but Justin Herbert and his ability to go in there and get that win in Arrowhead for the second consecutive year in a row. I know Kansas City was resting their players last year. That's ballsy, man. I mean, that tells you all. I've seen all I need to see from Justin Herbert. If you can go in and get a win in that environment, in that manner, I mean, you've got the cojones, man. And I think that they got a rookie head coach. I think that Denver, skill-wise, is maybe up there with the Chargers, but they've got the X factor at the most important position. I think the Chargers are absolutely legit. Absolutely.
And the interesting thing about this happening now is you looked at their early season schedule. At Washington, they beat them. Then they lose to Dallas. At KC.
Again, they probably should have won.
Raiders, Browns, and at Baltimore, it was possible the Chargers could have been, you know, 2-4, even 1-5 if things didn't break right. Now they have that win in their back pocket. You figure they're going to be favored against the 3-0 Raiders. Tough game, but then Cleveland and at Baltimore, a team that they can beat anybody. Now that being said, I think they're for real, but I'm not sure their record will reflect it for another few weeks here because I think they'll lose at least one of those next three games and then maybe be sitting at 4-2 at their bye in contention but not having pulled away. But then after the bye, New England at Philly, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and then at Denver. I think they can get hot, win four games after the bye, and set up, hey, if the Broncos do well, we say they're for real. What if you're looking at a showdown between 7-3 teams Thanksgiving weekend here in Denver between the Broncos and Chargers? Wouldn't that be something?
That would be fantastic. And I mean, we got to start talking about the AFC. You know, the AFC West is being one of the most competitive divisions in football. I know the NFC West is as well, but you got the Raiders 3-0. I mean, the way with the Chiefs at the bottom of the standings, this is shaping up. If all these teams can kind of stay the course and Kansas City picks it up, we're going to have some divisional races down the stretch.
Yeah. Now, that being said, I don't think that's going to be flexed into primetime because primetime that week is Baltimore at Cleveland.
That's a great game.
So, yeah, don't expect that one to go into primetime and don't expect a time change, but expect that to be a big one. I find myself wondering if the Broncos are going to be good enough to get a game flexed. And obviously, that depends on other teams and what they do before we're talking about whether they get, and also what the Broncos do. But it's something to think about going forward. Maybe they get back on Sunday Night Football. Real or fake? The Rams being the best team in the NFC.
I was hoping you were going here, man. Real, and more real. This was this was honestly my Super Bowl pick before the year, or to come out of the NFC. I bet Stafford to win MVP at 17-1, now down to 8-1 as of this morning. Sean McVay has a mastermind in the quarterback next to him that they can kind of fully implement his mischievous scheme. I just think the Rams, And I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think they beat down yesterday on Tampa Bay, a team that the public loves. And I still think they've only tapped into maybe 50% of their offensive creativity. I just think the sky is the limit with this Rams team, and I'm so excited to see what Sean McVay does with Matthew Stafford, with their skill players. And Aaron Donald's looking good, too. Who's beating the Rams? Tampa Bay did not look good yesterday. I'm not sure there's another team, and I like to be wishful thinking with my Cowboys, but who is a legitimate team in the NFC that is going to beat them at full strength?
Let's find out, because they have the Arizona Cardinals coming in on Sunday, yeah. And that's a classic chance for a letdown, perhaps.
Yes.
And being in the NFC West, I think, may work against the Rams just because they get the Cardinals twice. They're going to get the 49ers twice. They've also got a trip to Green Bay. Meanwhile, listen to the Bucs next several weeks. At New England, Miami, at Philly, Chicago, at New Orleans, bye. At Washington, the Giants, at the Colts, at the Falcons, and then Buffalo beyond that in week 14. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucs don't lose another game until December.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
But now they lose a tiebreaker to the Rams for home field advantage. But the Rams went into Tampa last year and beat the Bucs. COVID crowd, only 12,000 people. But still, it's notable that the Rams have beaten the Bucs twice in a row, once with Jared Goff, once with Matthew Stafford. They appear to have Tampa Bay's number.
And with the expanded postseason, isn't there only one bye per round now?
Yes.
So, and that is huge. And that's where I think Brady was able to kind of feast in the AFC of the comfort of being able to play in your own stadium game after game after game. The recipe for beating Brady is make him uncomfortable by putting him in a hostile environment and get as much pressure as you can without having a blitz. If you can do those two things, you got a damn good chance to beat him.
And finally, real or fake, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers being back.
I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy. He was starting to piss the hell out of me the first couple weeks with the way he tortured that fan base and then played. He's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. He really is. And I just think they've got to be real. He's got to put it together for this fan base. Aaron, we talked about Drew Brees, where I brought him up as having one Super Bowl ring. Aaron Rodgers is too good to not have a second ring. He's got to put it together. And Green Bay has been there year after year after year. I know I picked the Rams, but I'm just expecting Aaron Rodgers to finally just set the world on fire at some point.
Why if they don't get there, everything is pointing to him being out.
Right. He's too good.
And if he stays in the NFL, if he doesn't go host Jeopardy, Denver is still the most likely destination. Let's face it.
With that defense.
Yeah.
Teddy's been good, though. We got to give him his, you know.
I'll ask you this, Danny, real quick, and I'll ask you and Elo. When you watched Aaron Rodgers in that comeback last night, did a part of you for a moment think, oh, man, wouldn't that be something in Denver next year?
Very much so. I was debating with myself whether or not the 37 seconds was enough, and I was pretty quick to say that's plenty of time for Aaron Rodgers.
There's certain players where you just give him the benefit of the doubt, and I just trust him completely. He's one of them. And I know his personality's been a little up and down, but if he has a chance to come here, I don't care how good Teddy's been playing. You got to do it. Generational talent.
It's funny to be thinking that right now. Teddy has done everything he has needed to do.
And that would suck for him.
But you look at that, and you're like, if you had the opportunity to get that, how can you not? So it goes, but that's the NFL. It's why Jerry Glanville used to always say it's coming. It was called Not For Long. Just in case you missed it on the other side, Danny, what do you got for us?
Well, the Rockies hosting the Washington Nationals tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that game and also some heartbreaks from around the NFL this weekend. Which one was the biggest? That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Mason and Piro on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Danny Bailey on fire with the musical choices today.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon Drive, Goodman and Mason. Watch us on MileHighSports.com. Listen, Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM in Denver. If you want to join the conversation on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Media by AP. That's time me. Now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, Nationals at Rockies this evening, 6:40 p.m. Josiah Gray on the mound for Washington and Germán Márquez for Colorado. Washington coming off three losses, lost three of four in a series to the Reds in Cincinnati, and the Rockies have lost four straight, so both teams a little bit down in the dumps right now. Who bounces back tonight? Colorado is favorites by 1.5 runs. And the total's at 11.5, so expecting a lot of busy bats at Blake Street tonight. Your thoughts on the game this evening, gentlemen?
Season winding down. Rockies at home. Nats are all right. I like the Rocks, man. Come on, you got to get some good energy. I know Andrew's going to be at the game.
All right. I mean, they're 64-92. I mean,
that's better than a lot of people thought they were going to be.
Wait, people thought they were going to lose 92 games? This is a team that people thought they might bounce back. Now, they weren't regarded in the way that the Phillies and Mets and Braves were regarded as the contenders in the NL East, but people thought they might bounce back. This was a team that, as of July 1st, was still over 500. They were actually 40-38 after sweeping Tampa Bay to end the month of June. This was a team that was 40-38. Of course, they were active as sellers at the deadline. Since being 40-38, they are 24-54. This is a bad team. Márquez on the bump tonight for the Rockies. Give me the Rockies. Pretty comfortably tonight.
Yeah, I like it as well.
Just in case you missed it, you guys mentioned Minnesota's tough loss a couple weeks ago with that missed field goal at the end. Some big-time swings at the end of games this week for kickers. We'll see which one you guys think is the biggest heartbreak of NFL Week 3. We had Justin Tucker make that NFL record-long 66-yard field goal to beat the Lions in Detroit. Crushing loss there. Younghoe Koo's 40-yard field goal to beat the Giants in New York. And then Mason Crosby's last night in Sunday Night Football, a 50-yard field goal to beat the 49ers in the Bay. Which one of those most heartbreaking loss for the hometown fans?
I think when you get beat by something that has never happened before, like a 66-yard field goal in an NFL game that hits off the crossbar, so you, depending on your angle, you have that moment where you think, oh, it's not going to be good. I mean, that could only happen to Detroit, right?
That's
could only happen to the Lions.
That's my exact point.
And Tucker beat them 8 years ago with a 62-yard field goal.
And I think that was all field goals in that game, too. My buddy had texted me or something like that.
And, oh, by the way, if you're an older Lions fan, if you're basically a Lions fan that's north of 60 years old, you probably remember Tom Dempsey beating your team in 1970 with a then-record 63-yard kick. These things always happen to the Lions. They're like Charlie Brown, and the rest of the world is Lucy pulling the football.
It's a miserable existence.
Yes. And people think there are some Broncos fans who think they're long-suffering.
Oh,
there is
gosh.
No such thing as a long-suffering Broncos fan. There are long-suffering Rockies fans. There are long-suffering Nuggets fans. There's no such thing as a long-suffering Bronco fan. Sorry.
Oh, I got one more for you. Manu Ginobili returning to San Antonio as a special advisor focused on player development. The Nuggets added Popeye Jones to the coaching staff this offseason. Jones played in Denver just one season, 1999 to 2000. What former Nugget would provide the most benefit to this current roster? And we've seen them solidify that core with these extensions in the last couple days to help out in a player development role.
Well, I immediately go to someone that can't be had because he's already a head coach now. And for the longest time, I loved Chauncey Billups. I always said if they were going to get rid of Michael Malone, Chauncey Billups was the only person that I thought was right for the job. When it comes to an active player right now, I mean, they had Mike Miller for a minute kind of in that player coach role. Same thing with Richard Jefferson. That kind of worked out. You know, I think that's kind of what Paul Millsap was like. I don't know. Like, they need an ambassador, though. Honestly, Danny, I'm not sure there's a name that jumps out to me because they've had guys in those roles for so long that I think the Nuggets are hoping Jameer Nelson, kind of a player coach for a long time there. Mm-hmm. I think they're hoping that a lot of these youngsters have absorbed that over time. I mean, Jokic in the meat of his career, maybe he's ready to be that leader.
Yeah, and obviously we're talking about like guys who are retired as well, but
Yeah, that's a great question.
That is a great question. And it's not one with an obvious answer, except, well, I mean, I think the obvious answer was Chauncey Billups, and now he's coaching in Portland. So
that's a really good question.
That I think was, maybe Marcus Camby could help out with some of the defensive stuff and some of the big guys they have. Mm. He could bring them along a little bit. That was just one of the names that came to mind for me, one of my favorites.
What's Camby up to these days anyway? That's a good question.
Maybe
anyway.
He might be coaching somewhere else.
Anyway, that was, just in case you missed it, brought to you by Masterpiece Roofing. Check them out at MasterpieceRoofing.com. If you had hail damage this summer, Masterpiece Roofing, they'll work with you to make sure the insurance companies cover that. Check them out at MasterpieceRoofing.com. Danny Bailey, Alex Becker behind the glass, doing a great job. Appreciate you. And Neil Opiro filling in for Eric Goodman. Great having you in the studio, my friend.
Thank you for the opportunity, as always, Mace.
Thanks.
Go Cowboys.
Thanks for filling in. Thanks for hanging with us. And yes, Cowboys, Eagles, Monday Night Football. I've got the Cowboys. I know Neil has them as well. We'll see you tomorrow on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, expecting Eric Goodman back here. I'm Andrew Mason. Thanks for listening. Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD, 3 FM, milehighsports.com.